Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Justin, with Randy. How you boys doing today, Randy?
I am lovely. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Justin?
I'm good.
Quick and fast. I want to keep you in your good mood you're in.
I'm fabulous. No complaints. All is well in the world of Justin.
Perfect. That's what I like to hear. You guys going to see Ant-Man this weekend?
Who?
Ant-Man and the Wasp?
And the Wasp.
Two of them.
And that other guy that's a lady that was in the Quantum Realm. Is it a guy or a girl? It's a girl, right?
It's a girl, yeah.
What is her name?
Her name is Ghost. Oh. I'm sure she does also have a regular name, but damned if I can remember it.
Now, is she really a bad guy? Is there a villain in this movie?
Yeah. No, it's, you know, the main antagonist, you know, there's kind of two antagonists. There's Walton Goggins' character, and then there's the Ghost.
President! Abraham Lincoln!
And so, you know, there's, you know, one's got a reason to be bad, and the other one's Walton Goggins.
Right.
He's just enjoying his time as this southern gentleman, trying to make his way in the world. I do want to partner with you, Mr. Pym. so you think you're going to see this weekend, or is it you don't care, Justin?
Yeah, I'm going to see it tomorrow. Today is Thursday. I will see it tomorrow on Friday.
Oh, I like the sound of that. What about you, Randy? Is this something on your radar?
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely going to see it by weekend's end. Next time we talk, I will have seen it.
Ooh, then I will be brief since we'll have Ant-Man talk next week. Yes, I love it because I love the first Ant-Man and I love the second one so much. It was such a nice breath of fresh air after the heavy lifting that was done in Avengers Infinity War. And so it was kind of this nice little breather, and you have this fun little, you know, smaller scale jaunt with a couple characters that you love. And who doesn't love Paul Rudd? He has got to be the most likable person in this universe.
Can't deny that.
No. Yeah, so we'll talk all about it next week. I can't wait to hear. Hopefully it's not a Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom situation where I'm all like, I love this movie, and you guys are like, yeah, it's all right.
Nah, fuck that movie. I actually need to chat with my buddy Zach about the Jurassic World. I'm curious to hear his opinions. Felix, he felt the same way as you, Dave, when it comes to that movie. We should have had him on the show. I apologize, Felix, that you were not a part of that, but he definitely felt the same way as you, Dave, but I think he sees where I am coming from in the grand scheme of things. He is Jurassic Park. That man is the biggest fan of Jurassic Park in the whole wide world.
Yeah, he texted me a couple days ago thanking me for being his voice on the podcast since he shared some of my feelings, but I see where you're coming from, Justin. I just feel different. I understand and respect your opinion.
Oh, that's good.
I just think it's fucking wrong.
No. I totally forgot to mention that what's the super mega raptor's name now?
The Indoraptor.
There you go. It's 100% like clumsy and all over the place when it's chasing after him in the house, and then when it gets up on the roof, and then it casually and slyly like opens up the window when it's just been wrecking havoc, a goddamn wrecking ball in the whole house, and then all of a sudden it just switches gears and it slowly opens the window instead of jumping right through it. I think it broke its own rules.
I found that as like, it's never really been out. And like, so it was like, ooh, I'm out and I'm free and this is fun, and oh, I'm not very good at this, and just got better.
Yeah.
That whole
got better.
Got better. Yeah, that whole scene with the where you first see the Indoraptor comes up over the top of the house, and like the music swells to like a very un Jurassic Park like musical score, but it still kind of fit. It was like very operatic. And I thought that was a beautiful scene. A real hero shot, if you will.
Nah, I'm going to start taking tomatoes to movie theaters so I can throw it at the screen when it's a bunch of bullshit.
I always have vegetables.
I know. Always a total Batman Returns.
I think you're missing the point of the whole Rotten Tomatoes thing.
Yeah.
That it's a bunch of bullshit and that people should stop paying attention to it because it's just a bunch of bots.
Do you think we're being too literal?
I'm in the desert.
I do think it's always funny how in the movies it is the poorest people in the world throwing their fresh vegetables at the criminals that are about to get like hung or something.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, dude, you're starving and you're throwing your food. This show's it's like fake.
It's past its expiration date.
Yeah, it's like no one else is going to buy this turnip, so might as well throw it at... Yeah.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new Robin Hood?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Like, does it at all spark any interest in you?
No, it looks terrible. I thought it was a thief movie. Like,
yeah, I didn't even realize
the video
it was
game
Robin
thief.
Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, I'm like, they already made an Assassin's Creed movie. This isn't Fassbender.
I know. My God. I think the best Robin Hood movie that we're probably ever going to get is the Kevin Costner, Morgan Freeman, Alan Rickman.
Yeah. It looks like that's what they're trying to emulate with this one. They got Jamie Foxx as his little sidekick. He's got a little bit of Morgan Freeman in him, it looks like. And I just don't dig it. Unless there's a Bryan Adams song or Richard Marx or whichever one made the song.
Bryan Adams.
Okay. It was one of them. Same guy. Unless there's one of them making a song, I'm not interested.
Yeah, his name is even... Morgan Freeman's even playing Azeem.
Yeah. That's not to be mistaken with Dave Chappelle, who played Achu.
Is Jamie Foxx playing that character, or is he just... I'm curious. What is the new Robin Hood movie called? The Hood?
I think it's called Robin Hood. Or something of that effect. Which reminds me, I'm really curious to get your guys' impression of the de-aging that is in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I found it to be pretty good because they kind of do it again with Michael Douglas and then also with Michelle Pfeiffer because she plays Janet Van Dyne. And so I'm interested, and they also do it with Lawrence Fishburne as well. And so
who?
Lawrence Fishburne.
No. What are we talking
Morpheus.
About? What did you need my opinion of?
No, the when you guys see Ant-Man and the Wasp, I'm curious what you guys think about the de-aging.
De-aging. Gotcha.
Yeah, I found it to be pretty good. Some people are kind of shitting on it. But I think most people are like, holy shit, they got like 1980s Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas to come do a role.
Right. See, that is actually a really good question because women are always saying how they, in Hollywood, how they start to lose roles because they're aging and there's only certain roles that they can play. Now with technology able to roll back the clock, does that open up more opportunities for them? Is this something that we're going to see more of, do you think? Or is it just sort of one-offs here and there?
I have to imagine it's at this point not feasible for like any kind of length. You know, even with the de-aging, you know, in the Ant-Man movies and stuff like that, there's still a lot of reverse shots and there's still a lot of reaction, people reacting to young Hank Pym talking from the back where you see, you know, it's easy to have someone who has the same haircut. But you don't have to see their face, so I don't think we're there yet. But I could see a point to where we get there, and it, you know, it makes sense to have Goldie Hawn and you just redo her face because she is such a funny and likable person. I mean, if she's gonna play a younger version of herself, you know,
right.
Hollywood's for the young, then it's for the young,
dude. It's so sad, but that. Is definitely true when it comes to lead roles.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of entertainment's like that. You know, you got your sports. You know, body ages. But we're already too old.
And I really like those movies, like Unforgiven, where Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman are just they're out of their time. You know, they've already lived that life, and then they get drawn back to it. I love how they're just old dudes going back to this life that they left behind. I think there's something really magical about that when it comes to Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for The Old Man and the Gun. Old Man and the Gun with Robert Redford and Sissy Spacek.
No.
It's It looks like a beautiful little love story between the two. You know, they're obviously, they're older, and Robert Redford plays a guy who robs banks, but he's kind of a gentleman about it. And so I think it's great to see, like, this old, it's like kind of like an old, like, it's like a rom-com, but it's got old people.
Yeah.
And, old people are cute.
He hates dogs, children, and old people. Matt Broad's still crying in the exit room.
The exit room.
I don't even know where we were. Robin Hood. Oh, by the way, Jamie Foxx plays Little John.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
That changes things. And who's the guy with all the dots on his face then that was in the trailer that totally looked like Morgan Freeman's character?
That's Seal.
Ouch.
Face damage.
Face damage.
And they're doing all these like flips and like weird like shots and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's like,
It's eggy, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember much of it because I've already kind of blocked out some of that trailer. But weren't they speaking with like some modern colloquialisms that didn't seem right for the period?
Probably.
That was something that really bothered me too.
Yeah, it's like it's like the one movie with Heath Ledger. He's a knight.
It's the tale where he's a knight.
And they're that playing, works. They're playing rock music.
Yeah.
Got the Queen music going.
Yeah, somehow that worked because they like they went into it just unapologetically and they just moved right into it. With this, it just seems like everything else they're trying so hard to keep it kind of period. And then they just like modern up the language a little bit because they think kids won't understand otherwise. Yeah. I'll get that.
Yeah. We're just going to make $8. No one cares about Robin Hood anymore. It was done. It was done brilliantly in 1991 or whenever Prince of Thieves came out, and it has been done poorly so many other times. There's two Robin Hood movies: there's Prince of Thieves and it's a Disney one.
Yeah,
stop making them. Seven
classic.
Yeah,
or whatever year it came out.
You know, I like that one, the animated one.
Yeah, those are two you need.
Robin Hood, Little John walking through the forest.
I love that
movie. I do too. It's so good. Oh my god.
Did we talk about the Dumbo trailer at all either?
No.
Did you guys see the Dumbo trailer? Tim Burton's Dumbo?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the original Dumbo because it's sad.
I know.
Yeah.
At the end of the trailer, though, when Dumbo flies like right towards the camera, I did get like a little like a little chill. I thought that was kind of cool. But it might have been part of the music that did that. But
yeah, the baby boy or whatever train.
In the grand scheme of things, yes, Dumbo was one of the saddest Disney movies ever.
Yeah. But the trailer kind of sucked me, because I'm not a Tim Burton Disney guy, but like every shot was like, oh, Colin Farrell's in it. Oh, Danny DeVito's in it. Oh, Michael Keaton's in it. I'm like, oh, man, that's a pretty good cast. I might have to see this movie.
Right.
It's just one of those, I think we're going to get sucked into seeing it eventually. It's just, are we going to see it theatrically? I don't know.
I will, but I'll be sad.
Yeah.
When the mama is in the little jail car and she's like got her trunk out and she's like rocking Dumbo to sleep, if you don't cry to that, you're a fucking monster.
Well, and
you've drowned a puppy in your life.
It seems like there's so much that's different from the version we grew up with. I mean, there's no Timothy the Mouse. There's no questionably racist crows. There's, well.
You would think.
The crows, they have kind of a small enough role where I guess I wouldn't show that in the trailer anyway. But I mean, Timothy's a pretty big part in it, and we don't see any animated mice in what they've shown us so far. So instead we get we get some fucking kid or something, you know?
This is the good stuff. Snakes and sparklers.
I like snakes and sparklers. Not about what you want. It's about what the consumer wants. You're going to sit here and the salesman tell me you don't have any skip-a-do's, skip-a-don'ts.
Man, Zach tweeted that this morning and I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, good stuff. This is the good stuff. Snakes and sparklers.
All podcasts need more Joe Dirt.
No kidding.
But yeah. And then, Justin, you were saying Netflix is raising their prices.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
Oh.
Unless you want me to start.
Well, yeah, I was hoping you start, because then it segues into me talking about GLOW instead of me talking about the third thing in a row you guys haven't seen.
Sure. Okay, so it wasn't too long ago that Netflix raised their prices from, you know, your... They have a couple of different tiers. There was the $9.99 version, which back in the day was like $7. But anyway, now it went from $9.99 to $10.99, and then that got you basically two streams, so you could watch on two devices, and then you could have the four-stream family plan. That went from $11.99 to $13.99, but that also got you 4K viewing. And all Netflix original programming is done in 4K, which is fantastic. But now there's going to be a super mega ultra plan, and that's going to increase it by $3. So you're looking at $16.99, and that'll get you the ability to watch your ultra HD streams on four devices, and the old... super mega package that was $13.99 is going to reduce it down to two screens, but you'll still get your 4K content. Holy shit. A lot of action.
Sorry, I had myself muted. Now, does that mean four screens simultaneously, or four screen that like you get to, you select this screen to have it and so on?
No,
and so forth.
It's like simultaneous. So like if you live with multiple people, if you're a family and you want to watch your GLOW in the bedroom because it's got naked ladies, that's fine. But then your kid can watch Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest and their TV. And then your other kid that for some reason doesn't like Robin Hood and wants to watch
poor titties
some or naked breasts and they want to watch something else like, I don't know, Earth 2, then they can.
I think you just take that kid to the fire station. You don't like titties or Robin Hood? Ain't no kill mine.
Yeah, Safe Haven, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
What's the age limit on that? Like 17?
I think it's 17 years, 364 days.
Just give up on your child. Like, you know, you just suck at everything and I can't take it. You are now the fireman's problem.
Time to cut bait.
Crawl in the basket. I'm gonna ring the bells. Get in the basket.
Don't embarrass me.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
It amazes me that that is a totally okay thing to do, and people still are so scared that they just throw their baby in the woods, throw it in a dumpster, something like that, when it could easily survive and be in proper care. That's terrible.
Shows they're garbage people.
Yeah.
Were you going to say you don't think what?
I mean, maybe just people don't know about it. It's not something that they share often. Or maybe their parents didn't sign the permission slip for sexual education. I feel like that's when I learned about it, was in sex ed.
Yeah, it was always my favorite day when Amy had to teach that the fifth grade boys. They'd always get their questions and read them in the teacher's lounge and laugh at the next generation. I ain't having no kids.
I believe it.
Yeah. Well, that is unfortunate that Netflix is upping their price. We'll talk about MoviePass doing something similar in a second, but I just want to take a second to tell everyone that they need to go and watch the show GLOW on Netflix. It's Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It's just had its second season drop, I think last week, the end of June, and it is an absolute delight. It is fun. It is funny. It has a great cast, and you should all just put it in your queue, and so it can be that thing every couple days you pass by, you're like, do I want to start a series? What's good about GLOW is it's a 30-minute series, so it's a half-hour series, it's not an hour series. 10 episodes each season, so you're talking about two seasons, 10 hours. Trust me, you'll enjoy it, and you'll have a lot of fun, and it's cool. It's got a full 80s vibe, it's got the soundtracks, got the outfits. You know, they go to the mall, you know, everything that you did in the 80s, they're doing in this show, plus they're wrestling. So check it out.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just added it to my queue right now.
Ooh. Now the waiting game begins. But you'll totally dig on it, Randy. Like it's very 80s. Like every episode starts with like a different, like popular 80s song, and it's got all the neon lights and.
Yeah, you know, and I actually remember watching GLOW in the 80s too. So I have some sort of like a little bit of a nostalgia, emotional connection with it. So I'm going to give it a whirl.
Sweet. You might also, since you watched a couple episodes, there's a documentary on Netflix just called The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. And it's a 2-hour documentary, and it talks about the actual GLOW, because the Netflix series is a fictionalized retelling of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. They're not playing the actual people who played them in real life. They're playing, you know, caricatures. So the documentary might be fun too, since you did watch it a little bit, just to be like, hey, I remember her. Or you'll watch it and be like, maybe I didn't watch GLOW. Maybe it was just some other show with half naked ladies. But speaking of half naked ladies, Randy.
Oh yeah.
When they finally, when Kathleen Kennedy steps down finally, I guess we learned that Kevin Feige does not want this job. Does that make you sad? Kevin Feige going on record saying, I'm not replacing Kathleen Kennedy? Or is it all a ruse, Randy, and you support this?
I mean, he's got his hands full anyway, so I can't really imagine him wanting to dive headlong into another gigantic franchise right now. But I thought we already established that the rumors of Kathleen Kennedy leaving were greatly exaggerated.
Oh man, I think after episode 9 she's done. I think episode 9 will be her swan song, and then she'll transition to a different role. I don't think it'll ever be called, you know, a resignation or anything like that. It'll be some kind of like shifting priorities, or she wants to get back to doing X, Y, or Z. But I think that they'll let her finish out the trilogy and kind of be like, and I'm sure she's tired of it. And I'm sure she's over being told what a shitty person she is. We just this week we had both Christopher McQuarrie and James Gunn both come out and say like, yeah, I don't want to make a Star Wars movie.
I saw that. Yeah.
Well, Justin, what does that say about our beloved franchise that these real popular filmmakers are like, oh, don't fucking call my name?
I can't believe it that there's just a time in my life where people just don't want more Star Wars.
Or these filmmakers who grew up on Star Wars and list Star Wars as their inspirations, or some of them have actually done small work on Star Wars, are like, yeah, I don't want people telling me what a dick I am.
Right. Like, dude, you ruined it.
If you look at it, that's in a way, and probably in a big way, the reason why Lucas even sold it off to begin with, because he felt like he couldn't make everybody happy, or anybody happy, from his the reactions people had to the prequels. And now people are spitting even more venom here. I think as the internet grows up, its maturity like devolves. So as the longer the internet is around, the less mature people are on it, and the more shitty they become. Because the internet was around back in 99, and it wasn't nearly as destructive. At least to me, it doesn't seem like it was as nearly as destructive as it is now. Now, I will also point out that Ahmed Best, the guy that played Jar Jar Binks, recently came out just this past week as well, saying that he had actually contemplated suicide because of the huge swell of negative fan reaction to his character.
It's tainted his career since then.
Yeah, it just, that just breaks my heart when I think about all these people who have, you know, who is meant to, the Star Wars was meant to be this great big boon in their life, and instead it's this fucking albatross around their neck they just can't get rid of. And it's just had such a huge negative impact. It breaks my heart to think about something that I love so much has caused so much pain.
Well, if you like Jake Lloyd, he's a fucking nightmare. Rachel Bilson is married to Hayden Christensen, and like she didn't even want to tell her kids that their dad was Darth Vader. I'm like, your dad's Darth Vader, but I don't want to tell you. Like, she was just afraid that, like, A, you know, she would think her dad's a bad dude, but, you know, all the baggage that went with, you know, people shitting all over him for being Darth Vader and stuff like that.
Sad.
It's a crazy, crazy town. And I think that what we're dealing with is that I don't think that there's any more venom or anything. I think it's just, you know, some people get off on being dicks online. You know, that's just the nature. That's the nature of anonymity, and we won't get into the public forum internet again. But I think that it just, they're emboldened. You know, the dicks are emboldened. And, you know, they are like, fuck you, I'll say what I want, and I'll be a total dick to try to get a reaction. Because now they know they get a reaction from us, so they just want to be more outlandish. And hopefully one day someone just runs them over with their car, and then we won't have to deal with them. But until then, we just got to kind of let the dicks be dicks and ignore them. Use it for profiling purposes. Now you know this guy's a dick. Put it in a little jar, and so you know not to ever interface with him. Mm-hmm. He said bad things to Jar Jar Binks.
I like it when he says the son's doing murder to Misa Skin. I still laugh. Like, dude, I know what you mean, buddy.
You and me both, pal. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I would almost think that, like, someone like a Gunn, James Gunn, or, you know, Christopher McQuarrie would, like, take it as, like, a badge of honor, like, kind of trying to right the ship type thing. But I guess, you know, and that's fine. I think that they're very talented and creative filmmakers, and I would rather them make their own films than really, you know, toil in someone else's sandbox. Same thing with, like, Nolan. People are saying, oh, well, Nolan to make a Marvel movie or anything like that. We only get, like, a Nolan movie every, like, 3 years, so let's make it an original film or something like that. So, anyhow, Justin, Miles Teller, your boy, is going to play Goose's son in Top Gun 2 Maverick.
Wow, news to me.
Which part?
He's my boy.
I heard that you loved him a lot. Like, you saw War Dogs.
I like the movie where it's somebody's birthday and they're in college and they got a...
Like 21 or 21 over?
Is that what it's called? I don't know. It was funny. I laughed.
That was it. That's the extent of your Miles Teller love?
Yeah, I saw another movie that he was in, which wasn't good. I don't remember what it was called.
Was it War Dogs?
Oh, I hated that movie.
I was gonna say, I remember someone didn't like War Dogs. Now I know it was you.
Yeah. So he's Goose's son, is that what you said?
He is going to play Goose's son, the son of Anthony Edwards and Meg Ryan. And Miles Teller's kind of a broody actor kind of guy, so I guess they're going, he's all bummed that his dad died type scenario.
Is he old enough for that role?
Miles Teller?
How old is he?
He's probably
87. Yeah, he could probably pull it off.
Yeah, so who knows? We don't know if he'll be antagonistic towards Maverick or blame him for his father's death, but yeah, it's good to see high caliber of talent they're bringing on to this film. There's a lot of other names that were thrown around, but I think that talent-wise, Miles Teller was the proper choice. What say you, Randy?
You know, I don't really have a horse in the race. I think Miles Teller is okay.
Do you like Top Gun?
You know, I like the volleyball scene.
And jeans.
And jeans.
And the soundtrack. No, I enjoy Top Gun. I think it's cool.
Then you do have a horse in this race, Randy.
I never even thought about Goose's son coming into it. I figured once Goose was dead, we were just kind of, we're past Goose. We're on to different characters. But, cool. I like it. I like something to tie it into the original a little bit more. And Miles Teller's pretty cool. I hear he's difficult to work with, but I hear he's, you know,
notorious,
he's got some
skills. Pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One more thing, you know, we talked Netflix raising their price. MoviePass today on Thursday, July 5th, enacted peak pricing for their what they call peak showtimes. So if you are a month-to-month MoviePass subscriber, you may start to see these red or gray lightning bolts next to showtimes. If it's a red lightning bolt, that means it is currently in peak pricing, so you will pay, you know, depending on where you are, between $3 and $5 more per showing. If it's got a gray little lightning bolt, that means that it is approaching that. So better reserve your ticket now before it goes into peak pricing. So I know most people don't have it, but I have MoviePass. I love it. And if you're a yearly subscriber like I am, or if you got like one of those Costco passes, this doesn't apply to you. So you can continue going to those Friday night showings without fear of paying extra. So, yeah. So, yeah. So, Justin, you reached out to Twitter for something, didn't you? The Tweeter Machine?
Yeah, so last week I was curious. I got to thinking. Which movie property would you like to see get a sequel? Off the top of my head, I was thinking Goonies, Big Trouble in Little China, maybe District 9. And I asked our lovely Twitter followers to respond. And we got some pretty fun answers, actually. Let's see here. From Rob at DigiFluid, he says, even though the moment has long since passed by now, I can't believe they never made a sequel to True Lies. I agree 100%. I love True Lies. It's fantastic.
How many times did you see that one in the theater, David?
Sorry, I was muted. I was talking the whole time. I love True Lies. It was my grandma's favorite movie. You know, unfortunately, when she passed, we put a copy of the VHS in the ground with her. And, yeah, we saw it a million times. And every time I went to visit my grandma, she's like, you want to go see True Lies? I'm like, of course I want to go see True Lies. And it ends with such a easy sequel possibility. You know, the Taggarts are together, and they're going on. They can go on a mission together. But
it's been so long.
Well, yeah, now it's probably too late, but, you know. In the late 90s, early 2000, like if that came out like
94 is when that. Well, I mean,
The sequel came out at the end of the century, beginning of the next century. I think it really would have taken off. Tom Arnold, you know,
dude, and Bill Paxton as Simon that's like one of his best roles ever.
He got a tiny dick. It's pathetic.
That car salesman when he's like, "Cause it's you." And he's like, "Give me a day to think about it." And he's like, you see him thinking long and hard, and he just puts on that salesman smile. It's incredible.
And Tom Arnold's reaction. Holy shit, he's used car salesman. This keeps getting better.
Oh, that movie is so great. And when he comes in the elevator on the horse, and he's like, "Can you push the button to the top floor, please?"
It's a fine horse you got.
And then, like, whips the lady. Oh, it's so great.
He's like, "Say something." Mighty fine horse.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's see here.
It gets my vote. That should have been made.
Yeah, it's a good one, man. Our buddy at FTN Steve Alva Hood, the not serial killer with three names, he says True Lies, The Fifth Element, and Demolition Man.
Ooh.
Demolition Man is a fantastic movie.
John Spartan, you have been fined 50 credits.
Speaking of which, did you hear they're doing like a 20-year anniversary thing at San Diego Comic-Con this year? And they're going to have like a special deal thing going on with Taco Bell?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, really? In the future, all restaurants.
To Taco Bell. They won the franchise war.
It's like, I like a burrito as much as the next guy, but...
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Oh, shit. Let's see. Then we have Angie at Corpse with a K. She says, True Lies, Children of Men, Annihilation, and definitely agree with District 9. Children of Men, that was an interesting one because it was just a whole lot of depressing for 2 hours, and then there's a little tiny ray of sunshine at the very end. It would be interesting to fast forward a little bit and see how that child either grows up or what it's like being that child growing up. Either one of those could be an interesting story. Then we have at Kurt Kroll. He says The Last Starfighter. Holy shit. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, what I would say to him, if he's really clamoring for some Last Starfighter action, Ernest Cline, who wrote Ready Player One, he wrote a book called Armada. And it will definitely give you your Last Starfighter fix. It's not as good as Ready Player One, but it's a lot of fun, and it deals with a very, very similar premise, and it's definitely worth checking out. And every year they talk about a Last Starfighter sequel, and you know the problem is that the rights keep shifting. But I think it's something that a lot of studios want to make. They're just trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah, they'd have to mix it up a little bit with more of a like console or PC gaming, only in that arcades are just really hard to come by.
Yeah, that's kind of what Armada kind of taps into. Is, you know, they're playing like this, like kind of like an MMO game, and there's like a ground version and an air version. So it's kind of cool that there's two different sects, and then you find out at the end it's like, war. Oh, going to war
over sex.
Yeah, with a T. Sex.
Yeah, it's different. But, I mean, I could easily see it be in the realm of, like, you know, Fortnite, which is one of the biggest games in the world right now. The whole world's streaming, and you could easily turn that into some sci-fi adventure where the greatest Fortniter in the world is abducted, and they're like, okay, build a fort and kill some people.
Yeah, both of my kids will play Fortnite 24/7 during their summer break, if we let them.
I bet. Then we have Rob Christensen. He says Willow.
Ooh.
I'm on board with this one. I like Willow. I love the music. I love the characters. Mad Mardigan's one of my favorite knights of all time. And Warwick Davis is still an absolute delight. And I would absolutely adore another shot at Willow.
Yeah, I would totally be all over that. I wonder if they would bring back Mad Mardigan.
They have to.
Yeah, you'd think, right?
See, I'm a little tainted on the Willow sequel because I ended up reading the three Willow sequel books.
Can't do that. Chris Claremont books?
Yeah, Chris Claremont and George Lucas.
Yeah.
And it is very depressing because it follows, you know, the kid, but now she's the grown-up, she's the queen. And, like, within, like, the first half of the first book, like, Mad Mardigan's dead, Sorsha's dead. Like, everyone that you care about is dead.
Yeah, it's like a cataclysmic event that just kind of murders everybody.
Like, yeah. Well, thanks for ruining my channel there.
Well, geez, guys. I didn't even know those books existed. Now I'm kind of bummed out.
They came out in the very, like, in the 90s, like mid-90s.
Just go to Wikipedia. Save yourself
months. I feel like Shadow Moon might be the name of a book. I don't know.
Yeah, they're all like, there's like a moon,
Moon Fry, Punky Brewster.
It's a very never-ending story.
Yeah.
I have the original comic adaptation of the first of the movie. I had all the little action figures that weren't really action figures.
Yeah, they were statues. Like
static little plastic. They might as well have been those like Green Army men. They were
terrible.
Unposable.
Yeah.
But
you peck.
Yeah. Oh, man. The brownies were the best.
Oh my God. You know, I was thinking, now that you mentioned toys, we were talking about Robin Hood earlier, and the Sherwood Forest playset was a remake of the Ewok playset.
Yep, it was the Ewok Village from 1984, I think, is when that was officially released. And what they did is they molded big, leafy green sections. They just kind of stuck on top of each of the tree stumps just to make it look a little different. I got that, and I had one of those right next to my old Ewok Village from the 80s, and out of twine and popsicle sticks, I made like a little rope bridge that connected the two together, and I had like this big-ass Ewok Village. Because I was still one of those kids that was playing with my Star Wars toys in the 90s, 10 years after everybody else was all done with them. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And more, the Friar Tuck action figure from the Robin Hood line was actually the body of a Gamorrean guard, just molded in flesh-colored plastic instead of green. That's why he's so much shorter than all the other ones, because the other ones were all, like all the Robin Hood figures, they were molded off of the Kenner Superpowers line, so they all had a generic, like, Superman body. That's why every single one of them was fucking ripped, and they were all about 5 inches tall, and then all of a sudden you got this Friar Tuck that's 3 3/4 inch scale. He's so much significantly shorter than the others because they used the body of a Star Wars figure. And they made a battering ram toy that was a combination of both the Ewok battering ram, and they had like this Ewok catapult that was sold completely separately back in the 80s as well, mounted onto the top of it. So they were in full recycle mode. Kenner was back in the early 90s for that Prince of Thieves line. And I will happily tell you, that I came across when I was going through shit over at my dad's house a couple weeks back, I came across the entire collection of action figures still carded. I have all the Robin Hood stuff. I had opened the vehicles and all the big stuff, but I still had all the original figures carded.
Oh, my God.
We get it. You didn't touch a woman until you were 30.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you have no idea how sad and lonely I was in my teen years.
Like, made Marion, you understand me.
God,
I was so lonely.
Yeah, that's terrible. Poor man. Did you ever get, you're probably too old, but there were Hook action figures, but they were done by Mattel.
Yeah, and they were done in, when did Hook come out, 96, 97?
91.
91? Or was it 90?
90,
oh,
91.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn. I totally thought it was later than that, but no, I never did get into the Hook figures. I remember them. I remember they were very colorful. Yeah. They had like the food fight scene. A couple of characters were all splotched up with colored paint from the food fight scene. Yeah. They had all sorts of cool stuff.
And the going to war stuff, like the little sticks as armor and bones and stuff like that. Yeah.
And I remember right around that same time, the Waterworld movie came out, right? They had toys. I remember seeing Waterworld toys.
Same director as Prince of Thieves, too, by the way.
I remember seeing Hook toys on the same shelves as Waterworld toys. So that just tells me that if there was 5 years in between them or 6 years in between them, they were just sitting there in the clearance aisle for years.
That's a shame.
Ugh. Speaking of which, let's all give... Speaking of clearance aisles, because, okay, so of all the stores that I remember having the most epic of clearance aisles growing up, it was always Toys R Us. So I was really late to the party in the late 80s. I didn't get into Indiana Jones until just before Last Crusade came out. So I never saw Raiders in the theater. I never saw Temple of Doom in the theater because I was pretty young. But probably around 87 or so, I really started getting into Indiana Jones. And I was cruising around the clearance aisle at a Toys R Us, and I found all these toys from 82, all the stuff that they put out for Raiders. Now, obviously, they didn't have any of the cool characters because they'd been sitting in the clearance aisle for the last 5-6 years. So I got, like, the shitty ones, you know, like the German mechanic and fucking Tote, the Nazi henchman in the big black coat and everything.
Yeah, I thought he was Asian until I was, like, 30 years old.
Well, yeah, because they painted his eyes as just little slits in the figure, but... So yeah, it's kind of hard to tell ethnicity from a 1980s action figure that doesn't have the most detail in the world. But so that was kind of like my introduction to Indiana Jones, and I loved. There's so many toy lines that I ended up just picking up because they were dirt cheap at the clearance aisle of Toys R Us. And the reason why I bring this up is because last Friday was the day that the final Toys R Us stores in the United States closed for good forever. Sad. And you know, I just want to kind of give a moment of silence for all those stores that have been lost. Interestingly enough, they're still around in Canada. Toys R Us is still thriving in Canada.
Are we allowed to talk now?
Or
are
yeah,
I was going. I was giving.
I know. I was going to do the moment of silence.
Railroaded
thing,
straight
and I just
through.
Kept going and going.
Like that. We're
going
to give it a moment of silence. So, by the way, do you know that Toys R Us in Canada, the Canadians still love Toys R Us.
I didn't know what to do.
Start talking, or do I have to wait till Randy's done being?
It's like that 9/11 thing we went to, and we didn't know if we could talk, and then all of a sudden people started chanting. And
let me tell you something. It's never okay to talk to those things.
So anyway, that was an appropriate moment of silence there, but I do want to finish my Canada story. So they're still around in Canada, and to make matters worse, this is kind of a kick in the crotch. They're still doing exclusives. So there's this Captain Phasma action figure where she's got this mashed up gnarly helmet where you could see her actual fucking human eye underneath it through it. It's one of the 6-inch Black Series Hasbro Star Wars figures. But it is a Toys R Us exclusive, and the only people that are getting them right now are the Canadians. And you have to pay through the teeth if you want to get it shipped down here to the States. But I just thought that was really interesting that not only is it still alive, but they're still doing exclusives up there. So it really makes me glad that I'm not one of those completist collectors that needs everything, because I would go poor real quick.
Yeah.
Universal healthcare, free college, and Toys R Us. Man, Canada's got it all.
It's so cold.
Yeah, no. I can't do cold. I can't do rain. I can't do snow.
We can huddle for warmth.
That's true. Tip to tip.
Oh.
Initiating docking procedures.
Woohoo! I get to be outer dock. It's like when you know the pool's going to be cold, you just got to jump into it.
Oh, man.
Can't overthink it.
Dude, I jumped into a lake that was once a glacier, and... I never screamed so loud in my life, but it was underwater, and I didn't even know what to do. It was so cold. I jump in, I'm down like maybe 6 or 7 feet, and I'm just screaming bloody murder because it's so cold, and I couldn't swim fast enough to get out of the water, and when I did, I was just mumbling gibberish like Dave does every once in a while when the frostbite flashbacks kick in. I was not making sense for a good 2 minutes. It was that cold.
Nice.
Whew. Don't do it.
Just say no, kids.
Yeah. Polar bear plunge. Fuck it. Just take someone's word for it. It's awful.
Just say you did it.
Yeah. there's no harm. You can just say, yep, it was cold. It sucks. Don't recommend it.
Took my breath away.
Yeah. Ice cold. Whew. I don't like. Anywho, is that it? Is that our show?
Was that all the people that had gave you ideas?
Oh,
I'd written down a couple. If
yeah, that I think that's it. Why? Oh. What do you got?
Well, I was thinking Beetlejuice.
Ooh,
I thought we were getting one of those.
Who knows? Maybe, probably.
They keep teasing us.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this show for like 8 years now, and I swear that we've talked about Beetlejuice 2.
We've talked about it a lot, but it's not a thing right now, and until it's actually got a release date, I'm not going to believe anything. So I would love to see Beetlejuice 2. I would have loved to have seen the continuation of Guillermo del Toro's Hellboy series to see Hellboy 3 that he had in mind. I know we're getting a reboot, but that's something completely different. But I would have loved to have seen how he finished out his trilogy. Galaxy Quest, I know it's harder because not everyone is with us, but I love that movie, and Star Trek was famous for having so many sequels. It would have been kind of funny to see them have some form of spoof on all of the Star Trek sequels. And there's a lot that they could have mined for that. I'd love to see a sequel to South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut. Mm. You know, Matt Stone and Trey Parker have been pretty adamant that they don't want to make another South Park movie. It was such a pain in the ass when they made it in 99. But I have to think that it might be easier to make now. They might be a little looser with some of their rules. I still want my History of the World Part 2. I was promised the History of the World Part 2. I think it could be fun to see an Office Space sequel, whether following new characters or following the older characters, you know, 20 years later. I love The Dark Crystal. I'd love to see a continuation. We're supposed to get a Netflix series one day, but we don't have it yet. And I was watching Dark Crystal the other day, and I still love it. And then I put Big Trouble in Little China, but you'd already touched on that. So
yeah, it's a good one.
It definitely is. But I'd want to see, like, Kurt Russell now. Like, I wouldn't want it to be, like, a reboot or anything like that. I'd want to see it Jack Burton, like, 30 years later.
Sure. He's amazing.
Definitely is. And I'm sure Kim Cattrall would be down.
Yeah, she's not doing anything.
No.
I always wanted the Vega Brothers, that Tarantino movie with the idea of Michael Madsen and John Travolta's characters in this Tarantino verse that exists, where those two were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been cool.
Weren't we supposed to get a Kill Bill 3 where the little girl that saw her mom getting killed?
It was talked about, but Uma Thurman and Tarantino had a pretty gnarly falling out to where they just started talking about it. She never forgave him for making her drive so fast and crashing a car. She didn't want to do the scene to begin with. And he said, no, you'll be fine. And then, sure enough,
she wasn't.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
I know. It's weird because that could have happened at any point, sure. But I just feel like because it was so in her mind that it was going to happen, it might have. It's like when I go golfing and I see a sand trap and I'm like, shit, don't go to the sand trap. Don't go to the sand trap. I hit the ball in the fucking sand trap. It's like
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, motherfucker. I mean, of course it would have been a 100% danger shot. We don't like to text and use our phone, let alone act and being driving in a car. Usually that shit's like just being towed by another vehicle or something, or it's not even moving, whatever the case may be. Hollywood hocus pocus, and that's just one of the dangers. Honestly,
and it's dumb too, because he used like rear projection like throughout both Kill Bill films that, you know, obviously we know is fake and it doesn't even look real.
Yeah,
why he decided on this crazy dirt road that they needed to have this exact shot is beyond me.
Yeah,
you know,
he's creative. Complete waste though.
Right, and she wasn't comfortable, and you know, she, you know, according to her, she clearly voiced that, you know, and if, you know, obviously if your actor comes up, you know, or just put a different wig on. It's stunt double. It was all shot from behind. You could have.
Yeah, it was from behind.
Yeah,
that's what I don't get. Yeah, have a stunt double in there.
I always assumed the Vega Brother movie was Tarantino's, like, if he ever made a movie that just didn't land or that was just like a piece of shit that people didn't like, I always thought that that would be his, like, oh, remember you like these guys movie, and like he would bring like that
back
out
to the well kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's what I always thought.
Yeah, that's a good one. Speed Racer, that's another one. I really enjoy Speed Racer, and I would have loved for another adventure following the Speed family.
It's on Netflix. Check it out, guys.
Racer family, rather.
I know a lot of people shit on it, but it's pretty good.
So good. So vibrant. I really like it because of all the flying and the magic.
Yeah. It's like Mario Kart.
Dread. I could use more dread in my life. Of course, we might get that TV series, but a movie would have been tits.
Yeah, and then Carl Urban wants to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think now that just given the amount of success that has followed since its release and the amount of buzz around it and how everyone that watches it really enjoys it, I think that would be a pretty good bet. I mean, even if they just did like a crowdfunding thing, I think that would have been cool too.
Yeah, just keep it low budget like Dread was, and it'll make its money back.
Yeah, good times. Whatever.
Yeah.
Randy, you got any thoughts?
Well, so you guys had mentioned History of the World Part 2, but there's another Mel Brooks movie that was aching for a Part 2 and even teased a little bit. We never got a Spaceballs 2, and I'm still up for that, especially since Rick Moranis is kind of coming out of retirement. I mean, granted, a lot of the good cast is dead, but there's something that could be done, you know? There could always be a new model of droid voiced by somebody other than Joan Rivers. And, you know, dogs have a short lifespan, so maybe Mogs do too. Who knows? But there's ways around it.
John Candy's the one that hurts. I mean, you can kind of, you know, Dick Van Dyke or whatever, Dick Van Patten or whatever. You know, you can get around pretty much all the other ones that are passed away, but, yeah, Barf leaves a hole in that movie.
Yeah. And I think there would be a tasteful way to do a Joan Rivers. There's got to be someone that can do a pretty spot-on Joan Rivers impersonation. To where they could still pull it off.
Yeah. She doesn't make it on the adventure.
Yeah.
They leave her behind.
Yeah.
So, that, and definitely Goonies 2, and just kind of going with my 80s childhood nostalgia kick, I would love to see another Flight of the Navigator movie.
Oh, so good.
You know, just kind of like, let's revisit that particular alien race, or intelligence kind of thing, and see what things are up to now 30 years later. There's so many movies from the last Starfighter. You guys really nailed that one too. I think that one's super cool. I would love to see something like that in the modern era. I don't know, those are the ones that kind of jump out at me the most. Goonies 2, of course. I've always wanted a Goonies 2. At this time they would have to, I mean, I always figured it would be like their kids getting into an adventure, but if we keep waiting, it's going to end up having to be their fucking grandkids or something, because the original cast is, well, they're a little bit older than us, and we're getting up there in age, so.
Yeah, you got to think, the Fratelli's probably got 30 years. They're getting out of prison right now.
Yeah.
No, they're not Fratelli, all still with us.
Yeah, Mama Fratelli's dead. We got the other two. We got the boys.
But I could easily see them all getting together, and then Mikey plan some radical adventure, and then they all just get kind of stuck doing it, and then they're glad that they did.
Yeah.
Like The Hangover 2.
Yeah, just like that. going off of something a little bit more recent, I was a really big fan of the Warcraft movie. Some would say it's an absolute marvel of storytelling.
Some would say.
And I really want a follow-up to that. I just enjoyed the shit out of that movie.
Yeah, rich lore.
And I don't think it'll happen, but never say never. Goonies never say die.
Hey, it did well overseas.
Thank you, China.
Yeah.
It's true. They probably have it playing in all the factories where they're making Nike shoes.
They're making Nikes and iPhones?
Yeah. Sad.
And it's sad.
And they make the kids pay for it out of their wages.
Yeah. It's like, we'll put this on for you. Eric, is it dead?
Yeah, I own a 10% of a Pied Piper.
Pied Piper. Make a new Pied Piper.
Make a new internet. So good. And offensive, but it's good.
Ate away to make octopus.
Yeah, and I am eager. I'm an eager little beaver for this Kong/Godzilla universe that they got going on. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Assuming that moves forward.
Yeah, I think as long as Godzilla 2 does well, I think it's I think it's, you know, they set it up at the end of Kong Skull Island, you know, setting up all the monsters. So we just need Godzilla 2 to be a hit.
What's the name of that three-headed beast that Godzilla Hydra? Fights?
No, Rodan? Is that the three-headed guy?
Rhodesian fighting sticks. Oh, Rhodesian.
I know one of the guys that did the motion capture for one of the heads. As random as that sounds.
Vaughn?
Like way back when?
What's that? Like, no. For an upcoming project.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Biollante? Is that what it's called?
Sure. I'd buy that.
That has a bunch of heads. It's like a plant head thing. Biollante.
Derailed.
No.
Google it.
Google it.
Google it.
Biollante. then there is King Ghidorah.
That sounds about right.
King Ghidorah?
Yeah. I think it had a royal title like king in it.
It's like a bat.
Ooh, it's a royal.
With three heads. Got bat wings, like a dragon, kind of like a Godzilla, but then three heads.
I think that's the creature.
King Ghidorah.
Mothra?
No,
that's not Mothra.
You see a giant bug zapper for that guy.
Yeah.
Mecha Godzilla?
Yeah. Get a really bright light bulb and it'll just take care of itself.
But,
slides right into it.
But yeah, that's it, man. Unless you guys got anything else.
Help! I got another one. You joined already?
What?
What?
I got nothing. You got anything, Randy?
I am good to go, gents.
Well, cool. Well, make sure you go to GeekGeeks.com for all your geek news and reviews, and listen to Justin. His mouth hole does a whole lot of talking. He talks about video games, too, on the Pixelated Podcast that you can find on iTunes and Stitcher and GeekLegacy.com and all over the goddamn place. And you'll be glad you did. But yeah, that's all we got. And so until next time, we'll talk to you a different time.